Okay, on this episode of The Fan Show, Kevin Faulness is back. Radio Faulness is back for another twirl around the Minnesota Wild landscape and a little bit around the greater NHL as well as we conclude Hockey and Pizza January / February here at the FU Show. And boy, what a way to finish out that exercise, because Kevin brought the energy and tons of information and knowledge, plus a couple of great stories, including his favorite Nate Prosser moment. Or moments, I guess I should say. So really good episode with Kevin. A lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out. And of course, for Pizza and Hockey January / February, we have partnered up with Manscaped, manscaped.com. All your gentlemen grooming needs can be met, plus other things at manscaped.com. Check them out. I love their products, especially that Lawnmower 3.0. Excellent stuff. And of course, as a reminder, at checkout, drop in that offer code MSFU for Minnesota Sports Fans Unfiltered. MSFU gets you 20% off your entire order and free shipping. Again, manscaped.com for that. And all right, Brandon, cue the band. Welcome back to the Minnesota Sports Fans Unfiltered Show. That's Minnesota Sports FU, where misery loves company. This is Nick with Brandon, and I am super stoked because we've got Kevin Faulness back on the show. Kevin, thanks for coming back. How's it going today, bud?
I think we're okay. You know what? Let me just start by saying I have never been more thrilled to send my kids to school. After 11 months of quarantine and homeschooling and everything that goes with that, and realizing how stupid I am trying to teach a first grader, a third grader, and a fifth grader, they're in good hands, and my house is free and clear. So I'm all yours as long as you need me.
I love it. Now, were they equally as excited to go back to school today?
I'd have to assume they actually went back on Monday, and I think they were very excited just because they're sick of staring at each other. They want someone other than me and their brothers to stare at, and they get a chance to see their friends. So along with that, they get to see their teachers, they get taught, they get to learn stuff. But I think it's more the social aspect. This has been unbelievable. I know I'm not alone. Everybody's going through it, but the grind has been real.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And we all are in the same boat. So you're speaking for everybody, and people can certainly relate to that. All right. So let's jump into some, this is Pizza and Hockey. Well, it was January, but now it's bleeding over into February on the Fan Show, on the FU Show. So we're going to wrap up that session with the great Kevin Faulness, the voice of Minnesota Wild, certainly on the radio and on the internet and everything else. Kevin, the first question I want to ask for you is, when we watch games on TV, right, Gorg gets to do these intermission interviews with the players, and they come up with these fun little nicknames, K-Train, Gorgie, whatever. I mean, do you ever get any of that? And the second place, if you don't, does that make you jealous that he gets these fun nicknames on air?
No, Zuckery had some nicknames for me, but none of them would be on the air. That was always behind the scenes as he sent me hate daggers from across the room. Gorgie, or K-Train, as they call him, is he's a piece of work. Every nickname that he gets, he deserves. So it's they have some fun with him. And, it's the way that we're set up here. We would be doing intermission stuff and post-game stuff ourselves, too, with the radio side. But because of the Zoom and quarantine and all this other stuff, they've made it work for TV, but not radio. So it's just, it's another slap in the face for us because we don't use pictures. But I miss the days of being able to walk into the locker room and chat with a guy off the ice during an intermission or getting that post-game interaction. But whatever, we'll get through it.
So you're telling me that Kurtz and Reed don't have any fun little nicknames for you? Noms de guerre?
I'm trying to think. I don't think that we have nicknames for each other. We've definitely had our moments over 20 years of working together, but I don't know that we have cuddly little nicknames for each other now that I think about it.
Well, they other than hockey nicknames, they don't necessarily strike me as a nickname kind of guys.
No. My favorite one was Wes Walls. It was Fallsy and Wallsy, even when he was in the locker room, and that's gone to this day. I think we started calling him W squared first back in the inaugural season. That didn't stick, but it became Fallsy and Wallsy. So we've been going. Next time you have Wallsy on, you can ask him about it.
All right, that's a good one. I like Fallsy and Walsy. It's got a nice sort of Muppet Show kind of thing to it. That's awesome. All right, so hey, we've got, you know, a bunch of games of action. I mean, as I was thinking about this team right now and what we've seen so far in the regular season, you know, the thing right now that stands out, of course, is the guys missing either to injury or, you know, Fiala just finished his suspension as we record here on Wednesday morning. But, you know, not unlike many other teams in the league right now, the Wild is dealing with a ton of injuries and players out. Is, you know, first place, your thoughts on that, but also, you know, this is an opportunity to see some of these guys in the taxi squad, an opportunity for them, even either with the Wild in the future or auditioning for other jobs in the NHL after this season. But what are your thoughts on the sort of roster decimation that we've seen?
Yeah, I'm going to credit Pat Micheletti with this because he called it about a month ago and said that the taxi squad is going to be incredibly important considering the conditions that we're playing in. And he nailed it, and it's come to fruition. And it's not just the Wild, it's everybody across the National Hockey League. The taxi squad is going to be, you know, potentially your MVP because you're going to have to rely on these guys. And I think Rouse said it yesterday, too, the fact that, you know, it kind of bummed about the fact that he was going on the taxi squad, but then it kind of hit him as this thing wore on, that those guys are going to play a valuable role. They're down there on the taxi squad. They're practicing with the team whenever it is a chance to practice. But, you know, considering how this congested this season is, which is going to, you know, equate into penalty or into injuries. Then on top of that, you got the COVID situation, which could rear its ugly head at any point in time. I think it's going to be incredibly important to have a taxi squad that you can rely upon. And it's already bared fruit for the Wild. I mean, Sunday was all about the taxi squad and what those three guys did coming up and filling valuable roles. You saw it again on Tuesday. Again, I think all three of those guys, even though the Wild lost, they still played a role, and it's going to carry on going forward. Who knows how long Marcus Foligno is going to be out? We still don't have a timetable on Marcus Johansson. Fiala, you finally get back. Spurgeon, now you're out with an upper body injury. Zuccarello hasn't even started skating with the team yet. So these guys, Mayhew, Rao, Johnson, and any of the other guys that come up from what would be the Iowa Wild, are going to be significant because these are huge pieces of the lineup that are missing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Rao has played two strong games in a row, bringing energy and a little bit of jam, and that's what you need from those guys. And I know he doesn't have a contract beyond the season, so this is a huge opportunity for him. And I liked hearing that his attitude was in the right place. Right? I mean that matters.
Yeah, I was going to say, and for all of them, Mayhew in particular, I mean, for him, it's, I'm sure on some level, and it's not even subconscious, it's probably right there at the top, how irritating it would be for a guy like that to do everything humanly possible to succeed on the American Hockey League level, come into this season and not get a step. Now, some of that's because of circumstances. There was no training camp. There was no preseason. He didn't get a chance to knock the socks off again. But I think his track record shows that maybe he deserves a shot. Now he's getting that because, you know, for no other reason, they need him. They have to rely upon him. So now it's up to him to make the most of this opportunity. As same thing for Kyle Rouse, same thing for Luke Johnson. If you don't make the most of this opportunity now, you know, shame on you. You know, you're not going to get a better opportunity than this. Mayhew in particular. I mean, he's playing top 6 minutes now. He's playing on the power play. They're putting him out there in big moments, and it's because they have to. Lack of bodies. But Mayhew and Rao in particular are making the most of those opportunities. Rao, you know, he's a little bit of an instigator. That hit that he threw in the corner on Tuesday night was something special, and he was able to drop the gloves. I remember Kyle Rao as a Gopher captain and what he did there with the Minnesota Golden Gophers, but he's taken that agitator role up to another level. So it's cool to see these guys, you know, succeed on the highest level possible.
Absolutely. And speaking of guys who did a lot in admittedly a short amount of time in this case at the AHL level, and now getting an extended look at the NHL level, let's talk about Kaapo Kakkonen for a couple minutes here. I mean, I don't think the plan was to start him maybe this many games or percentage of this many games into the season, but obviously, Talbot gets dinged a little bit, and so Kaapo stepped in. And I'll tell you, Kevin, I didn't notice, you know, sort of the overall 30,000-foot view, I didn't feel like there was a big drop-off when Talbot went out, when Kakkonen came in and played those several games. What are your thoughts on him so far this season?
I think he's been outstanding. I think of if you made a list top to bottom of the things that this team needs to worry about, I'd put goaltending towards the bottom. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I last year, and it's hard to believe that it has been a year ago, but last November, Kakinen made his debut out there on the East Coast, and I happened to fill in for Bob Kurtz that game. And it was out there in New Jersey, and he looked – I mean, that was his first game in the National Hockey League, and he came in there and just looked like he belonged. I mean, he's just that cool, calm presence, and I think that's what's been so great, not only about Kakinen, but about Talbot as well. I don't care who's been in the in goal for the first 10, 11 games of this season. They both look have looked the part, and Talbot should. You know, he's an NHL mm-hmm. veteran. But even Kakinen, the way he goes in there, he's a calming influence. What I like about both of them the most is that they don't have to make that flashy Dominic Hasek bend your spine type of save. They're always in the right position, and they're coming up with a big save when you need it and giving you a chance to succeed. I think Talbot was very much that a lot around that line on Tuesday night. I thought he was there on Sunday, and through Kakinen starts with Talbot out with that lower body injury, I thought he looked the part. So goaltending is in great hands here for Minnesota.
Yep, agree. All right, so I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to him at all, but can you give us your impressions on Ian Cole so far? And I think it's been five or six games now he's had since the trade for Greg Patterson. It seems like he's, you know, again, sort of a steadying influence, plays a pretty straightforward game, not spectacular, but doesn't really make any mistakes. What are your thoughts on Ian Cole?
Well, yeah, the only way I met him is through Zoom, you know, because that's how we communicate with anybody within the Wild, because, you know, that's just the protocol that they have to go through. But what I heard about him before he came here from my sources in Denver, just friends in Denver that work for the Avalanche, is that he's a stand-up guy. He's a go-to quote kind of guy. And, you know, you always in the media, you love to have guys like that. And it was the same thing last night after the game. He had some great quotes, and every time you talk to him, but on the ice, you know, he's definitely a calming influence because of circumstance last night. At one point, he's on the top pair with Ryan Suter when Jared Spurgeon went up. That's not his forte. I think him as the third pair, you know, with either Carson Soucy or Brad Hunt, perfect role for him. He's, again, a great veteran presence in that locker room, which I think says something. And not only that, I mean, Bill Guerin knew what he was getting with Ian Cole. That's why he brought him in here. He loves the fact that he's that type of player. You need that type of influence in the locker room and on the ice. And I think that'll pay dividends as the season goes along. So I'm excited to see Ian Cole here. And he's definitely not going to be a guy that's going to lead your team in points or power play minutes or anything like that. But the little things that he does, I think, rounds out that top six, the three pairs on the blue line very nicely.
And you need those guys, right, who accept their role and thrive in it and work hard and are professionals. That sets an example for other people. And so that's really positive. You mentioned Brad Hunt. I mean, talk about being professional. This kid is, everything you ever hear about him is that he's a great guy and a professional at that. But, boy, he really has demonstrated his professionalism this season. Not playing a lot and then getting asked to play a tiny bit on the wing even, and now he's slotting in on D a little bit. Your thoughts on Brad's game when he's gotten into it and you know, like last night he was able to play a full game of defense. That had to be kind of a nice break for him.
Well, I think that's the one thing in this lineup that you can say about a number of guys. They're versatile, you know, and I'll tell you this much too. With Brad Hunt, you can't walk away from a conversation with Brad Hunt without having a smile on your face. He's just one of those personalities. Bubbly, it's effervescent, he's happy all the time. I mean, he's just one of those cool dudes that you love to have in your corner. But you get him out there on the ice, and he is versatile. He can play the forward position if he needs to fill on the fourth line. When you put him on the blue line, and especially on the power play, I almost wish they'd use him more back there on the point, because he's got a Dumba-type shot. And now with the loss, who knows how long Spurgeon will be out, who knows how long Matt Dumba will be out. He's going to play a valuable role. So it's nice to have a guy like that who can keep his head on straight, despite the fact not getting a lot of playing time, not getting a lot of minutes, is ready to go at the drop of a hat. And again, that type of willingness to be that guy is going to pay dividends for him, because he's going to play a valuable role here, especially with the absence of two of your top four.
Yep. Have you seen a bigger improvement in a player from last season to this season, besides Jordan Greenway?
Victor Rask might be right up there. We were talking about that last night, the transformation between those two guys, or at least maybe the perception of those two guys. And Jule Eriksson-Ek might be up there a little bit too, because the three of them, it feels like they've transformed themselves from what we perceive them to be to what they've become. But Jordan Greenway, I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid. He's got the wingspan that can basically touch both sides of the ice if he chooses to use it. He's got the ability to put guys into the first row of the seats if he wants to use his body and his frame. And now he's become that prototypical power forward that the National Hockey League loves. I can't believe the upside that this kid has. The come to Jesus he had with Bill Guerin at the end of last season, he definitely took it to heart. It's one thing to say you're going to change, that you're going to make the right moves, that you're going to treat the offseason the way you're supposed to and then carry forward into the season. But, I mean, he's doing it. And the Wild, when everybody's healthy, and I was calling him the freak line with Foligno, Jule Eriksson-Ek, and Greenway. I know on paper they're your third line, but they were playing top line minutes. They were just doing everything. And all three of them kind of fed off each other. And I can't wait till they can get those three reunited once again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be super frustrating for Foligno and for anybody to have to go through the COVID stuff right now. I mean, it's not an injury necessarily, right? So it's just a pain in the butt. But yeah, that line has been arguably our best line, I think, the Wild's best line, at least most consistently good line all season to this point until they were broken up due to injury. But all right, so a couple other players I wanted to ask you about. The first to me is Parisi. He's, not necessarily, we haven't necessarily seen the points or the points per game, but he's certainly getting looks. He's getting chances. He's his strong self as he's ever been in front of the net, down low, et cetera. And we've also noticed, at least us fans have noticed or been made aware of a lot more of his sort of overt leadership stuff as well this season and leading into the season. I think they even had him in the. I think you even had him in the commenting on the Spurgeon captaincy and maybe the Becoming Wild piece on that. So, which is sort of interesting given that he was up for the job as well. But so, are you noticing any frustration in his game given the lack of actual points, or is he just sort of plodding along, being his normal sort of solid self?
Well, I don't think it's due to lack of effort. That's one thing you can say about Zach Parise. Right. You never have to worry about his effort level. His legs are always going a million miles an hour. He might not be getting the points that we're used to seeing from him. And there was a stretch there early in the season where, the Wild were still winning on the West Coast and Zach Parise and Kevin Fiala had 0 points. And now you fast forward a little bit, Parise's got a couple of goals. Fiala, of course, 3 goals before going out with suspension. But I don't know that I would worry too much about Zach Parise at this point. To me, the lineup has been in such flux that if they can get everything normal and get Parise out there with Kaprizov or whoever it is that you want to pair him up with, Parise's going to get his points. He's going to get his goals. I think it's just a matter of time. But I think just everything is so, when you got Mayhew playing in your top line and you got Rao in the lineup and Johnson, you're missing something. Members. The entire lineup, I think, is taking a beating. So I'm not too worried about Zach Parise at this point. I'd rather see, another handful of games to see how he progresses and what this lineup is going to look like as you make it towards the midway point.
Yeah, that's fair. So obviously, I think some people get a little nuts with line combinations just because they're so likely to fluctuate during a game, even without injuries or that kind of thing or penalties. So, but that being said, assuming everybody on the main roster or what projects to the main roster is healthy, how would you stack rank our centers right now?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, that's the tough spot right now. When Jule Eriksson-Ek is your top guy, and that's not a shot at him. I love him in that third line role. And you put him in the bottom six, and to me, that's where he's perfect, and that's where he should be. But the way he's been playing early on in this season, you almost have to elevate him to the top line. And especially, the Wild are struggling here early on. So I guess right now, I don't know that I want to rank him. But, Jule Eriksson-Ek has been playing phenomenal hockey through 11 games. I think Nick Bjugstad has shown flashes of what you could get from this guy. This is a make-or-break. We talk about Jordan Greenway. I think coming into this year, this was a make-or-break season for him. with the Minnesota Wild for Bukestad. This is a make or break season for his career. He's playing for his NHL livelihood. So I think he's shown flashes of what his potential is. And then, and again, Victor Rask, perfect to me on the fourth line center position. But who would have thought that he was going to have this start to the season either? And then, and then throw on top of that Nico Sturm when everybody's healthy and he can play center. I've really liked his game as well. So, you know, do we really have a number one center on this roster? Probably not. Do we even have a number two? Maybe not, but we have a bunch of number threes and number fours, and right now they've been getting the job done.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And then do you need to see any more games with Johansson at playing center, or any more shifts with him at center? Are you of the mind that he is best suited at wing?
I think he is best suited at wing, and I think he'd be the first one to tell you that. But again, he's another guy that's versatile, that if they need someone to step in at the center position, he can do it. But you can tell he's just more comfortable on the wing. I love having him and Kaprizov out there at the same time. Whatever the combination is, whether he's the center, whether he's the wing. But to me, when those two were out there, they had the potential to create that chemistry together. You saw it in that overtime goal early on this season. There was another one where Johansson set up Kaprizov. I'd love to see that keep on going. But again, you got to get everybody out there healthy. To me, if all things are equal and you have an option to put Johansson on the wing, 100%, that's where he should be.
Yep. And I think you just hit on it. I mean, we were just talking about this, some friends of mine in a group thread, text thread before this, but I don't know that we're going to get, a normal, you know, sort of roster or have a night in the rest of this regular season when all teams are playing and no games are postponed. It just doesn't seem like that's possible given all the other stuff that everybody's dealing with. And we talked about the taxi squad earlier, but the thing that starts to worry me is as these postponements occur, and you know, we finally saw a couple in this West division with it was Vegas and
Nashville. Dallas has had some delays.
Yeah. Everybody, I mean, it seems like there's been at least, and now Buffalo and New Jersey are both down for a while.
Yeah.
So the thing that worries me though is from a scheduling standpoint, looking at rest and recovery, there's only so far you can stretch these guys, and missing, postponing these games and having to reschedule them later. I saw something that said that in the Central now they're looking at playing more than once every other night at this point, just to get the rest of the season before any additional delays or postponements. You know, do you think we could see a situation where not every team finishes with 56 games in this regular season?
100%. I don't know how they squeeze in the games that they've missed already, let alone throw in more that we're inevitably going to miss. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion. I assume they're leaving themselves a little breathing room from when the regular season is supposed to end to when the playoffs are supposedly supposed to start. But I don't know how they do it. I feel like we're at a breakneck pace as we, and I know they're only playing every other night for the most part, and there are some back-to-backs in there. But, I mean, they don't have time to practice at this point. And then you add to that, they don't have the chance to get the rest and recovery. And all that's going to do is compound the injury situation. Right. Then you throw the COVID garbage on top of that. I mean, they're just asking for trouble. I think that it's almost a foregone conclusion that there are going to be teams that aren't going to play the 56-game schedule. And if they don't, then they're going to push the playoffs into July. And I just don't think that's an option, because I think everybody hopes that next season – we can start on time. I know they said that about this season too, but I think the hope is, knock on wood, fingers crossed, that next season can start on time. And to do that, you've got to end this season on somewhat of a normal timetable, June at the latest. So that's my opinion. I don't know how they get all 56 games in by all 31 member clubs.
I agree. And they are also butting up against NBC's commitment to the Olympics, I believe, as well, once we're in the summer months. So that's got to be a bigger hurdle than getting the other stuff as far as getting on TV.
But I mean, the health of these players, man. We're seeing it on the Wild, but I mean, across the NHL, take COVID out of the mix, just because these games are happening every other night and you don't have a chance for rest, you don't have a chance for recovery. And I know they're professional athletes and all that stuff, but I mean, there's a wear and tear and a toll that it takes on these guys. You know, we're only a dozen games into this season, and it feels like we're exhausting them. So I don't know how you squeeze in more games than they have currently allotted, because it feels like it's pretty compacted as it is.
Yeah. All right, last current Wild question for you, and then I want to ask you about two former Wild players who have seen some action lately, and you can guess who those two guys are.
But I think I know.
All right, so last 2021 Wild team question for you for this show. You know, we're 6-5. We're sitting, you know, in third place in the division right now, top four in the division, make the playoffs. We're 2 full points ahead of Anaheim, plus a couple of wins, or at least a split, I believe. You know, do you think it very, very early, and who knows, the rest of the season is going to be nuts. So with those important qualifiers in there, are you comfortable with what the Wild has accomplished to this point? Is this a sort of just above 500 team but should be in contention at least to get into the playoffs in this division?
I think, you know, it's hard to predict the future, what's going to happen with injuries and or COVID, because they've been hit hard by both already through 11 games. But if they can come out of this and figure out a way to get guys on the ice, all things being equal, yeah, this should be a team that's above 500 and definitely makes the top four in the Honda West division. How this all plays out, I have no idea. There's so many unknown factors that has very little to do with how Fiala and Kaprizov and the rest of the team plays. But I like the buttons that Dean Evason has been pushing. I like the fact that they've got real solid goaltending now this season with the Wild. And I think when their blue line is out there, it's as good as anyone in the National Hockey League. So those three things in particular, I think, can push to the promised land and get them into the playoffs and at the very least be above 500. I mean, I don't know how high I'm setting the bar there, but, you know, that's the question you pose. I think they finish above 500. I think they make the playoffs, and I think they get valuable contributions from those two guys to give them the offensive push that they need when talking about Fiala and Kaprizov.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's turn over to these former Wild players. First thing is, you know, awesome to see Nate Prosser get back into an NHL game after, I think I read, 2 full years or seasons off or out of the NHL playing in the A. Not only does he get into the game, but he scores a huge goal, a game-tying goal at the time, gets a lot of love for it. Obviously, he's got a friend in Chuck Fletcher there in Philadelphia. But
yeah.
First, how cool was it for you to see that moment for Nate? And second, you know, everybody seems to have a great Nate Prosser story, demonstrating what a cool guy he is and down-to-earth, a true Minnesota type of kid. And so I'd love to get your Nate Prosser story as well.
Well, let me say this. Garth Brooks has friends in low places. Nate Prosser has friends in high places. Not only Chuck Fletcher, but Mike Yeo's on that bench as well.
That's right.
And
that's right.
There's a love affair between those three guys that is an enormous amount of respect. We saw how, I mean, it's kind of like how Dean Evason talks about Brad Hunt. That's how Mike Yeo and Chuck Fletcher would talk about Nate Prosser. There was times where he'd collect mothballs in the Al Shaver press box waiting for his turn. But you never got the negative attitude from Prosser. He was always the guy that was ready to go whenever you called his name and would go out there and play at the best of his ability. Now, the best of his ability sometimes, I mean, it's not an elite level, but it's still, for Nate Prosser is just one of those cool guys that you have to root for. I don't care what jersey he's wearing. My Nate Prosser story is always, this is what I think of when I think of Nate Prosser. Every single night, it didn't matter what the circumstance, if Prosser's in the lineup, at some point he's going to get blown up in his own corner. He'll get the pass off, and he'll throw it tape to tape, but he's going to eat someone's helmet as he gets thrown into the end boards. Always just blown up. But, I mean, again, always had a smile on his face, would stand up for his teammates, you know, tooth and nail, and just a wonderful person to be associated with, and Mr. Elk River for sure. And a goal on Hockey Day Minnesota. You can't write it any more Minnesotan than that.
Game winner too, right?
I believe so, yeah. Him and Chad Rowe had one too back in the day. Kyle's brother. Those Minnesota boys like to succeed on
Hockey Day. Well, that's why they call it Hockey Day Minnesota, I guess. That's awesome. Yeah. Impossible not to root for for Prosser.
Yeah,
the kid's just everything you want to see in a human being, it seems like. So, and then of course the former captain Mikko Koivu finally gets into some action there in Columbus. That had to been I can only imagine how much he had to grit his teeth through the entire Pierre-Luc Dubois scenario. But he finally gets on the ice. He gets a goal in one of his first games. Got to be really cool for someone like you who knows Mikko's been around for a long time to see him continue to contribute at the NHL level. What can you tell us about Mikko Koivu?
Yeah, you know, it stunk to watch him have to sit on the sidelines. I think he was in the COVID protocol, what he was dealing with. I have no idea. Maybe there was an injury to go along with it. But he finally gets in there, an assist in his first game, a goal in his second. And I wasn't watching the game. We had a game going on at the same time. But I saw the highlight and the smile on the former Wild captain's face. It just made you feel good. He still knows that he thinks he can still compete at a high level. And he's showing it there in Columbus. And it's going to be fun to watch him go out there and hopefully flourish this season. I mean, I don't find myself rooting for the Columbus Blue Jackets all that often, but it's hard not to root for a guy like Mikko Koivu. He did so much here in Minnesota, and I still contend that if and when they retire a number here for the Minnesota Wild, it's going to be that number 9, and it's going to hang in the rafters. It should. I think he deserves it, and the amount of respect that he should have here from not only the Wild and their fans, but from the entire organization. I just think that he's done so much for the Minnesota Wild organization. So awesome to see him succeed, and you can bet I'm definitely pulling for him.
That's awesome. Well, this is going to be, I think this is maybe the first podcast of anywhere in the world this NHL season that's going to go without around that talks about the Minnesota Wild that doesn't have an extended section on Kirill Kaprizov, not because we don't like Kaprizov, but because there's so much other stuff we wanted to talk about. So that being said, Kevin Faulness, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a super interesting season already, and it's only going to get more interesting, I think, not only for the Wild, but for the NHL in general. Stay safe out there. Enjoy your time at home without the kids. And thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Good luck with everything. Stay healthy.
All right, YouTube. That's Kevin Faulness. This is The Fan Show. Thanks so much for listening. You can get this and all the episodes of the FU Show at TalkNorth.com. And we will be back with you again soon.